Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, August 8th, 2022, and welcome everyone to today's program. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform, in myself, Eric the Tech, and everyone who really comprises the Hagman Report. Appreciate your belief in us. We have a lot of information to get into, a lot of stuff to talk about. I have to say this. This is an amazing time to be alive, because I have never seen, and I'm not sure you have either, have ever seen the amount of things taking place at one time that is basically chaos. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it, but chaos. I'm going to touch on a couple of things. Number one, the weaponization of the IRS. And think about this, a takedown of alternative media platforms, specifically Alex Jones, with respect to the defamation suits, is going to come in the bankruptcy proceedings and the weaponization of the bankruptcy proceedings, which of course does fall under the purview of the in part of the IRS, but the weaponization of the IRS against patriots, that's a big thing. Then you've got, obviously, related to that, Rahim Kassam had done a great Substack article about the American kleptocracy, which ties into the IRS. Then you've got some things taking place with China. Now, you know that Pelosi went over to Taiwan. By the way, took her son, Paul Pelosi Jr., over to Taiwan as well. Wonder what that's about. Oh, we'll be getting into that. Meanwhile, you know, the coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, the bioweaponry, everything about the bioweaponry has not gone away. They are doubling down. Natalie Winters did a tremendous exclusive about what Wuhan is doing. And she is Zhang Li, the bat lady. What's going on there? It's hard to believe that with all the bluster of Rand Paul, all the bluster of others, that this is still taking place. Fauci is still walking around, has a pulse. And I'm just saying, it just blows my mind to think that no one's holding these people to account. Oh, it makes for good sound bites, but I'm tired of sound bites. I don't know about you. I'm just tired, but I'm tired of sound bites. Also, speaking of the SARS-CoV-2, I found this, and this makes a lot of sense. In fact, let's start here. Let's start at the bottom and go forward. On page, in the show notes, it'll be page 4. If you go to HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman, open up the program box for today. All the links for today will be there. This is something I found extremely interesting. And the Brownstone Institute published this. This is by Jeffrey Tucker, but this goes back to June 18th. All right, this is not new, but see, it doesn't have to be new. All we have to do is maintain a file of things that have been found, investigations done, and we just follow through on things. Remember the Military Olympics in October of 2019 that was held in Wuhan, China? Do you remember that? I don't, but okay. It doesn't matter. Writes Jeffrey Tucker in the Brownstone Institute, it's going to take far more than a few investigators to piece together the timeline of the great disaster of our times, much less figure out all of the parties responsible. But you know what? See, here's the thing. When I'm faced with a huge case or a complex case, it's one bite at a time, one step in front of the other. And also, where possible, use others. If they're good at, for example, if somebody's good at forensic, computer forensic work, okay, make sure you employ them, whatever the case might be. But writes Jeffrey Tucker Brownstone Institute from June, it is the Military World Games held in Wuhan, China, 2019, drawing athletes from all over the world in this high-profile event. 9,308 athletes from 109 countries competed in 329 events in 27 sports. Okay, I'll take your word for it. It's likely, very likely, that COVID was already known to be there on that during that period of time. A fact that destroys the timelines of many people on all sides of this issue. Now, I'm not going to read this. You don't need me reading things to you, but you've got to really grab a hold of this and understand how important this particular piece is. The fact that so far that there have been no deep investigations into the question about, well, wait a second, Was this SARS-CoV-2 released, or was it bouncing around back in that time period? And Military World Games, is that significant? A couple of facts within this article. Months before COVID made the headlines, and long before Jeremy Farrar and Anthony Fauci claimed to have been made aware of the virus December 31st, 2019, we had these games, and we had indications that COVID was there. People were being infected. So what do we take away from that? Fauci lied, Farrar lied, others lied. Yes. If these games resulted in this vast sickness on the part of so many with unusual but very similar symptoms to one another, Surely the possibility of a problem perhaps located in Wuhan would have been widely known in those circles. In the circles I'm talking about, NIH, NIAID, and others. One of the things that really caused me to pause and take a look at this is when the athletes arrived in Wuhan in October. It was late September, but in October. The city itself was empty. The highways they had no cars on them. The shops were closed. No one was on the streets. And this is a city of 11 million people. The Communist Chinese Party bragged that they'd cleared out the city to make life special for the athletes, but it was a clear sign of the first clear sign of a lockdown. Why? 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 And now back to the article, writes Jeffrey Tucker, this is interesting too, in a brief moment of journalism. The Washington Post actually ran a competent story by Josh Rogan on the topic in June of 2021, one that elicited no serious follow-up. It's quoted at length in the Brownstone Institute article, essentially saying, look, there was stuff going on there at that time, and this is a lab-created bioweapon. End of story. Okay, bio research. As a matter of fact, the blame was that the United States military, Fort Detrick, participants in this game brought over this particular virus for those games, and the Communist Chinese Party were victims. That's kind of what they're saying, okay, which is just ludicrous. But during those games, many of the international athletes became sick with the symptoms of COVID. And but the city, again, strange. A city of 11 to 15 million people, complete lockdown. But they were told, hey, this is for you. This is for you just to get around so you can get around easy, right? Okay. And there are quotes from participants in this article. Read this article. And one of the important parts of this, too, that I want to touch on here is this. Writes Jeffrey Tucker, and perhaps the most important question of all, if this virus were known to exist this early, along with the suspicion that it traces to a Wuhan lab, one indirectly funded by the NIH by way of Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance, why were the American people not told about it? And there it is. To paint a fine point on it, it's a cover-up. It feels like a cover-up, looks like one, and it is one. So there it is. This is a lengthy article, and it's also got some documents. It has a document in there as well. You could take a look at. I think it's important for everyone to take a look at. So there is that. Okay. Now, you would think, okay, so what's going on today? Natalie Winters, in her article, this would be page 3 if you're following along at home show notes. Wuhan Institute of Virology, whose research into coronavirus is believed by many to be the source of COVID-19. And I guarantee you that, I mean, I would put my professional reputation on this. Can I say for certain? No. But based on the totality of evidence, this is obviously, I really don't think people would, I mean, this is a man-made, man-created bioweapon using the dung of bats to make the coronavirus a more lethal and a more transmissible and a very DNA-specific, weapon. Well, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, again, is continuing to engage in risky studies tracking bats and their ability to infect humans in caves across China. This woman just doesn't stop. What is it with her and bats? Good Lord. The unearthed paper, which was found here, follows a controversial lab using funds from Anthony Fauci's National Institutes of Health. Again, why? I ask the question, why is this guy still walking around free as a bird? Does anyone have a question or an answer for me as to why this guy is looked up to as being the authority on this, as being some sort of
because he's a magical garden gnome.
Oh my gosh, garden gnome. He does fit to be, seriously, he looks like a garden gnome. And thank God he's gonna retire. Okay, he's SES. He's the highest paid employee of the United States government, makes more than the office of the president. And this guy is still, seriously, there's something friggin' wrong with this entire picture.
No.
Yeah. Natalie Winters, you have to excuse me. I'm drooling and dribbing and drabbing all over the place.
That's your opinion, correct?
What's that? I forgot what I said.
Everything you say, you have to say that's my
opinion. No, that's my opinion. Yeah. And you know what? I'm still allowed to have opinions, right? We're still allowed to have opinions. This is America. You want to sue me? Go ahead. For having an opinion, go ahead. There was a comment on Rumble. Why are so many people saying, in my opinion, in my view, prefacing things like that? And I saw that. And I said, it's a whole lot easier to do that, slip that in there, than to pay tens and tens of thousands of dollars for retainers, for attorneys, when people sue you for defamation or whatever it might be, like Alex Jones. So, you know, you've got to say, look, this is my opinion, but okay, this is my reasoned, along with, and I'm quoting Natalie Winters here from National Pulse. This is my reasoned investigative analysis on this. So what you have is Fauci's NIH, his agency. Okay, the NIH, NIAID, Fauci's NIH, in collaboration with EcoHealth Alliance to gather bat samples, beginning in 2014, led by EcoHealth President Peter Daszak. Again, why is that guy walking around? And the Wuhan Institute of Virology's batwoman, Shi Zhengli. Researchers use the samples to conduct risky gain-of-function research, as now deleted web pages revealed. I love it when they delete web pages. You know, ain't nothing to see here, right? So, this, they want to replicate efficiently in primary human airway cells to achieve in vitro titers equivalent to epidemic strains of SARS-CoV-2. In other words, here's what they're doing. They're playing where they shouldn't be playing. This, there's no good from this to come from this. They're taking something that would not occur normally, evolutionary in nature, making it so, and then, hey, let's see, hold my beer, watch this. Then let's make sure we can, you know, have like a cure for it, right? Oh, wait, that's what vaccines are for. You know, the vaccines that'll keep you from getting COVID, right? Oh, they don't. They just keep you, so you need a booster in order to, what, boosters don't help either? Huh, okay. All right. You get the idea. But the bat lady is still doing things. And the study shows that researchers work with recombinant proteins, a term that commonly appears in gain-of-function research. Look, you've got to understand what's taking place here. They are attempting to alter the DNA of humans. And we've gone into this. And we are, in fact, if you have seen our fundraiser, the four videos, I believe there are three or four videos, the PDF file. You can see how, and we talked about this last night at the Patreon meeting as well, that there's nothing new under the sun. What they were doing at the time of Noah, messing with the DNA. Yes, even back then, the DNA they're doing now. But to what end? To rid the planet of God's creation. All right. You would think too, and this is something that blows my mind that people just don't even, what's wrong with people? All right. Page 2 in the show notes, 14 young Canadian docs die after getting the shot. Take a look at this. This is Steve Kirsch's newsletter. Now look, there are things that he writes I don't agree with. There's things that other, I don't agree with everything everyone says. Okay. But when they're right, they're right. 14 young Canadian doctors die after getting the shot. Normally it would be right around zero over 30 years. You've got to check this out. Because if this isn't a wake-up call, I don't know what the hell is. The executive summary. A doctor friend in Canada heard about 14 deaths of Canadian doctors over the last 9 months. He's been in practice for 30 years. He's never heard of any such deaths before. Zero, none, nada. Why is he now all of a sudden hearing about so many deaths? And these deaths were all happening very soon after, you know, getting these shots. People will say, well, people die all the time. There's no relation. What is that? Causality, causation. Okay. I know that argument. Look, no. It's the pictures. If you scroll down there they are. 14 Canadian doctors who have died after being given the shot. The photographs are underneath that. These are people, these are living human beings. And these madmen, in my opinion, like Fauci, mad women like Burks, madmen, in my opinion, like Bill Gates, Peter Daszak, Farrar, the heads of Pfizer and other companies, they all should be put on trial for crimes against humanity. That's my view. Because when you look at this, how can you deny? I want to know, how can you deny that this is taking place? All right. I want to show you this video. This is something to, this is something that you really need. I believe that we really need to kind of make sure this does not happen. Folks, you remember in the months prior, all of the sales of ammunition to different agencies, the post office, the IRS, and the sales of guns and all that. You remember all that? And everyone's saying, well, don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. It's just normal. They practice. They've got, okay, fine. Check this video. Tucker Carlson, like him, hate him. I don't care. But he's right on this point. Okay. Check this out. This is video number one, where he has Matt Gaetz on talking about Biden weaponizing the IRS against Americans. But let me be clear on this. It's just not against Americans. You think that they're going to go after some blue-haired, tattooed, pierced nipple, you know, moron out there? No, no. They're coming after you and me. Here it is.
So when they start treating the IRS as a military agency, you should be very worried. And that's exactly what the U.S. government is doing. In 2018, the Government Accountability Office reported that more than 2,000 IRS enforcement agents have more than 4,000 weapons, guns, that kill people, remember? The IRS is also stockpiling more than 5 million rounds of ammunition. In 2020, the watchdog organization OpenTheBooks.com reported the IRS has spent more than $20 million on guns and ammo between 2006 and 2019. A few lawmakers are trying to stop this. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is one of them. He just introduced the Disarm the IRS Act. It's sponsored by Marjorie Taylor, Paul Gosar, and Jeff Duncan. Matt Gaetz joins us tonight. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on and for doing this. Why would the IRS need millions of dollars worth of guns and ammo?
Well, Joe Biden is raising taxes, disarming Americans. So, of course, they are arming up the IRS like they're preparing to take Fallujah. Like you mentioned, 5 million rounds of ammunition, 4,500 firearms, automatic weapons, and $731,000 of taxpayer money spent this year to quite literally weaponize your government against you. So it's not really that Joe Biden and the Democrats hate guns. They just hate law-abiding Americans having them, and they take the money from the people to go and have their own little private arsenals. And it's particularly egregious from a country that militarizes its bureaucracies and then forces its grandmothers to go and fend for themselves on dangerous streets because they defund the police and have cashless bail and other hug-a-thug woke criminal justice policies. That's exactly why I'm introducing legislation to stop it.
Well, God bless you. I mean, Cori Bush has bodyguards with extended magazines. They're not against guns. They're against you having guns. So how could anybody, rhetorical question here, in the U.S. Congress oppose your bill? On what grounds?
Well, I'm hoping we get a vote on it because it will show the hypocrisy that is around gun ownership in America. And you just look at the last assault weapons ban that they passed off the floor of the Congress. They had special exemptions for the Department of Education and the Department of Agriculture and the IRS to have guns. So I don't know if the future is like critical race theory and tax payments at the end of a rifle, but I certainly hope not.
Sounds like it may be. I don't know what else to infer from this. Thank you for fighting against it. I very much appreciate that. Matt Gaetz of Florida.
Notice how well the use of infer versus imply is employed there. Okay. Yeah, it's a big thing. Raheem Kassam wrote a Substack article called American Kleptocracy. The IRS commissioner, Charles Rettig, told Congress his agency would not increase audits on households earning less than $400,000. Wow, that's good. I mean, I can wipe my brow now. After being handed 87,000, roughly, more agents in this Orwellian-type Inflation Reduction Act, which was really hurried through Congress this past weekend. Did you hear about this? This is the Inflation Reduction Act, compliments of our Congress. And by the way, yeah, they're going to toss in some 87,000 more IRS agents just because, which means they will be doing that, essentially going after us. If historical promises by agency heads in front of the lawmakers they pretend to answer to are anything to go by, and they are. So, writes Kassam, in other words, they just use your taxes to increase your... You can't make this up. You ready? They just use your taxes to increase your taxes so they could hire 87,000 IRS agents to rifle further through your taxes in case you owe more taxes. And they're arming them to do so. So, okay, what is this telling us? You're seeing the various departments being weaponized. And they're coming after us. But by the way, I found this very interesting. 87,000 new IRS agents is greater than the number of people living in Wilmington, Delaware, where Biden lives. It's just absolutely, in my word, unfriggin' believable. And it really hacks me off to think that our taxes are being used. Let me repeat that. They just use your taxes, our taxes, to increase our taxes so they could hire 87,000 IRS agents to rifle further through our taxes in case we owe more taxes. Did you get that? Makes my head hurt. That's something that's extremely, extremely, extremely. You gotta watch that, because all agencies now are coming under that kleptocracy where they're being armed. And I want to talk to John Moore, thelibertyman.com. It's been a while because things that we did for the fundraiser, the different recordings. I mean, the schedule was crazy. I'll tell you what, man, by the time I got done with last week, I was so dizzy. I didn't know, you know, which end was up. So I want to thank him for his patience and for his kindness and for coming on today and being part of this program. A couple of things I want to get into with John. Oh, John doesn't pay taxes. So yeah, that's irrelevant. Well, we won't talk about that. So now one of the things that came out, and you know, this is not something that, hang on a second here. This came out in the Epoch Times, and John Moore, because of your experience, I want to just touch on this with you. Ashley Babbitt, the 35-year-old Air Force veteran, okay, that was killed at the Capitol, shot, murdered at the Capitol in the U.S. Capitol Speaker's lobby by Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd on January 6, 2021. The report came out that she was murdered, period. Now, the death certificate lists homicide as the manner of death, okay? Now, that does not, you have to understand, okay, in the legal world, that means homicide, but it doesn't necessarily mean murder, okay? If you get my drift. But just before 3 o'clock in the afternoon on January 6th, Babbitt began climbing through a side window leading into the speaker's lobby and was shot in the left anterior shoulder. Okay, so where is the left anterior shoulder? Posterior. It would be the rear. So anterior is in the front. So she was shot through the front shoulder by Byrd. And I got no respect for that piece of crap, that Byrd guy. None, zero, nada. She was pronounced dead a half hour later. Now, Stan Kephart, who has testified in court. I like this guy. He's testified in court more than 350 times as an expert witness on policing issues, various police issues, reviewed the shooting in what the Epic Times TV had done a documentary and reviewed the shooting specifically for that. It was actually just a fantastic documentary, and that caught my attention. So I dug deeper on this, and I just lost my page here. Hang on just a second. Keep that up there. Okay, here we go. Stand by. All right. So, John, I want to get your opinion on this, because here's what was said by this expert. My conclusion, based on what I saw and observed in the video clips, is that Ashley Babbitt was murdered. This is Kephart, 42-year veteran of law enforcement, former director of security for the 84 LA Summer Olympics. He testified on topics that included excessive force, police discipline, officer safety, and crowd control. You know, for all the leftist, queer leftist morons with purple hair and body piercings and tats everywhere who are claiming excessive force, they're celebrating the death, the murder of Ashley Babbitt. This article, this report, I should say, not an article, but a report, goes on to say that, quite simply, the conclusion, Ashley Babbitt was murdered under the color of authority. This by the use of force expert. That should have never happened. You know, and you know this, John, okay, if you've got a gun out and you're holding it on a suspect, or if you have a gun out and you decide to pull that trigger, you are responsible for every projectile that comes out of that gun. It doesn't matter if it's one or 10, but every single one, they have to account for every single projectile that comes out of that gun. Why did I mention that? I guess the lethal force in this particular case, where he was pointing that weapon, where you had a group of CERT, police CERT people behind her, and others behind her. And there was no threat. She posed no threat. She had no gun. She was unarmed. She was climbing through the window. Yeah, a problem, okay? But a life and death situation where he had to shoot and kill her? I hope upon hope that a lawsuit is filed, some kind of lawsuit. I guess rules don't matter today, so I guess you can file lawsuits even when, you know. But I do hope. I mean, for crying out loud, she's 5'2", 110 pounds, soaking wet. And this bird is what? His left leg weighs 110 pounds. His mouth weighs more than that. So, John, what do you think about this ruling that... opinion, not necessarily ruling, but an opinion in this report that, hey, she was murdered under the color of authority. I know that you talked about this before. You came to the same conclusion, but now it's coming out more and more. What do you think about that?
Okay, well, thank you, Doug. First of all, good to be with you after a 2-week hiatus.
Yes.
Law enforcement officer, somebody who has taken the oath and is wearing a badge and is on duty, has a higher standard of using deadly force than a civilian does. I teach concealed carry in Missouri and have done so for 20 plus years. And I teach my civilian students that they're held to a lower standard for use of deadly force than a commissioned law enforcement officer is. The higher standard, basically, and I don't, typically in the 50 jurisdictions, and DC would be 51, they're pretty much consistent that a commissioned law enforcement officer can use deadly force to defend his life. That was not the case. A commissioned law enforcement officer can use deadly force to stop a fleeing violent felon. That was not the case. A commissioned law enforcement officer can use deadly force to counter deadly force that's being used against them. That was not the case. If this officer had any duty at all, well, it would be to take into custody the unarmed 5'2", 110-pound woman. And there was no reason whatsoever for this man to use deadly force against an unarmed suspect who was at the most guilty of a federal misdemeanor, not a violent felon. I hope that the widower of this woman files a wrongful death action against this officer and has a top-notch attorney, a law firm, to carry out that civil lawsuit. That really needs to happen. I hope he's already got that underway.
I hope so, too. And I want to mention this. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or people are aware of this. In addition to him shooting Ashley Babbitt, the witness testimony, as well as the video that was reviewed by this use of force expert, showed that Byrd had his finger on the trigger before Babbitt ever appeared in the window. He removed his finger from the trigger for a short time before advancing on the open window, and then he fired as Babbitt began to lean through. He could not see her hands. He did not know if he was shooting at a male or female, and had no idea what he was shooting at. Okay, so there's that.
Well, it just compounds what I said a moment ago, Doug. Exactly. It could compound it and makes it even worse, is what it does. Does this man still have his position of wearing a badge and being a commissioned officer? I don't know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, I think he got an accommodation.
He got a commendation from whom?
From
Nancy Pelosi?
Pelosi's group, yeah. Yes.
Excuse my ignorance, but is he a Capitol Police officer with the Capitol Police? Or what is some other agency?
It is my belief he is a Capitol Police officer. There's so much of the report on this is voluminous. I should know that off the top of my head.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, the standards don't change no matter what agency this man worked for. Capitol Police, Washington, D.C. Police, there's a dozen federal agencies that could have had a man on site with a gun and a badge. That doesn't change the basic premise. How and when to use deadly force. That's what it's going to come down to. Now, we've seen some miscarriages of justice.
I'm sorry, U.S. Capitol, just to be clear, U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd. And also, I'm going to point this out because you're familiar with this. Anytime a police officer, anyone of authority fires a gun, let me tell you what, getting a mortgage on Windsor Castle is a lot easier than going through the investigative process, once you fire a gun. Okay. Because the paperwork is voluminous, the interviews after interview after interview, the fact that you are put through, tremendous scrutiny. Guess what? Michael Byrd, listen to this. The DOJ report on the shooting was released in June by the Judicial Watch, sued and got the report for the January 6, 2021 shooting. Okay. After a thorough review of the facts and circumstances of this case, there was insufficient evidence to prove beyond reasonable doubt that Lieutenant Byrd violated Ashley Babbitt. She's referenced in this report, by the way, by her previously married name, by her civil rights. Okay. By willfully using more force than was reasonably necessary. But this is what really chaps my behind here. Two things, and you'll like this because you're a details guy. All right. Okay. So let me say this again. After a thorough review of the facts and circumstances in this case, there is insufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that this asshole Byrd, I'm sorry, that Lieutenant Byrd violated Babbitt's rights, civil rights, by willfully using more force than was reasonably necessary, or was not acting in self-defense or self-defense of others. The undated 14-page document reads, 14 pages for this. The report referred to Babbitt by her previous married name, which was McEntee, I believe it is, but nonetheless, Kephart said that the center said that the standards set by the Supreme Court in the case of Graham v. Connor doesn't refer to willfully using more force than necessary. They switched the words around in this report. And, you know, look, I know Byrd, obviously, he wanted to cooperate, but he didn't feel like it. So he refused to give a formal statement to investigators on that day or subsequent to that day. Now, do you know of any cop that's ever in that position that shot and killed someone that said, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give a statement.
Well, I mean, there's thousands of police shooting incidents for decades, Doug, and there probably have been officers who refused to give a statement. Without a doubt, there have, and most likely on advice of counsel. Most likely that's happened, but it is unusual.
He never made a formal statement to IA, Internal Affairs, ever.
Affairs. Well, typically, if he's represented by counsel, the counsel would grant the interview with legal counsel being present, is what they would do, as opposed to not giving an interview at all. That's typically what would happen. And quite frankly, that's a wise thing to do. Anytime you're facing a capital crime, it's always wise to have legal counsel at your side when an interview is being conducted. I don't care who you are or what the circumstances are. That's just a wise thing to do. But to not grant an interview at all is unacceptable. It's completely unacceptable. And that alone should be sufficient grounds for putting this man on an administrative leave or firing him or something of that nature. The fact that he refused to give a interview to Internal Affairs, even with legal counsel being with him, that's totally unacceptable, Doug.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, I wanted to get your take on that. And folks know that that's out there. Epic Times did a great documentary on that, and that report is in that documentary. So, but anyway, John, I don't want to direct necessarily where you want to take this. What's on your mind since I haven't spoken with you in a while? What's on your mind? John Moore, what is on John Moore's mind?
Well, in my opinion, the 900-pound gorilla in the middle of the living room is the COVID vaccines, what I call the COVID clot shots. Beginning July of last year, 13 months ago, the insurance companies, the funeral directors, and so forth, noticed a dramatic spike in people, working age people dying that had no discernible pre-existing conditions that would cause them to meet an untimely death. 40% increase, 50,000 men and women a year dying, roughly equivalent to all the men and women that died during the Vietnam War, more than 10 years, taking place every year. People are starting to notice, Doug.
Yeah, they are.
Now, I can't assume that our listeners know the following. There was an interview with a casket manufacturer, a family business up in Ontario, Canada, family business for 30 years manufacturing caskets. They're noticing a dramatic increase, a 40% increase in caskets. Also, in addition, they're seeing something they've never done in 30 years of manufacturing caskets: bulk orders of children's caskets.
Yep.
That's never happened. Never happened in their family business of manufacturing caskets. I've made private inquiries myself to verify this, and I have verified it to my own satisfaction that the funeral homes are seeing a dramatic increase in children's funerals, along with, and in addition to, the 40% increase of working-age people, working-age men and women dying. What are they dying from? Blood clots, heart attacks, strokes.
Well, that's from taking cold women. Showers. Have you noticed all these excuses coming out? Well, cold showers cause heart attacks. You shouldn't run in the heat because your blood thickens and you stroke out or whatever. Just amazing crap that you've never heard before, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, what I do in investigations, and I believe you do also in many, but not all investigations, you look at two things. What's the same and what's different?
Yep.
The summer, the activity the past 13 months of working age people is basically the same. We have not seen a dramatic increase in men and women training to run marathons or to do Ironman competitions, that kind of thing that would put undue stress on a human heart. Now, those things remain the same. So what's different? What's different is the number of people dying. What's different is these people have had and received the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. That's what's different. People are starting to notice. There's an undercurrent. Most people don't read the obituaries, Doug. I do. I would say maybe 5% of the 5 or 10% of the population may read the obits. I do, and I started paying more attention.
I've got to, because I got to check to see if I'm in there. I don't want to be in there, not know it, brother. I know that was a bad joke, but you're right. I mean, most people don't, do they?
They don't. I started reading the obits when I was 20 because I knew I'd see my friends and classmates that were dying in Vietnam. 20-year-olds don't read the obituaries, but I did until 1975 when the war ended. That's a side issue. Senator Johnson's hearings, Senate subcommittee hearings in January of this year, 8 months ago, one of the doctors who was a witness was in the Capitol Rotunda making a video that's been posted online. I think it may be on my website. I've got more than 200 articles and videos from doctors and scientists regarding COVID-19 and vaccination clot shots. In the Capitol Rotunda, this medical doctor said the following: there will be more people die on this planet this calendar year, 2022, than any year in recorded human history. We're already on track for that, Doug.
Right.
That's already happening. The year only has a few months left. We got 3 months of this month and then 4 months, four complete months left until the 1st of January. We're already on track for that to be the case. More people die on planet Earth in 2022 than any year in recorded human history. And it's being completely ignored by the mainstream media. Even Tucker Carlson, I don't believe, is talking about this. I don't catch all of Tucker's shows. But when it comes to the legacy media, the mainstream media, it's not being talked about at all. And even within the alternative media, not talked about all that much, Doug. Here and there, you'll find it. We started out the show talking about one man killing one woman. This is murder on a scale unprecedented in recorded human history, which you're looking at 5,000-6,000 years. Unprecedented. It makes what Mao Zedong did, what Stalin did, what Adolf Hitler did look like child's play. Mao Zedong probably murdered, they still don't have firm figures, about 50 million people. Stalin, maybe 20 million of his own people. Adolf Hitler, he's given credit for 6 million, which may or may not be true. Pol Pot, 9 million. These are small numbers compared to what's taking place right now, Doug, worldwide. And,
I put up.
I refer to you, I know you didn't get the clot shot. I didn't get it.
Nope.
I refer to our listeners, Doug, as the pure blood remnant.
Amen.
That's what we are. I was talking to my pastor yesterday about this. He says, John, it seems backwards. The people they would want to kill are the ones who aren't getting the clot shot. I said, Pastor, you don't get it. They want to kill all of us. This is just the opening round. And if they're killing mostly liberals and Democrats, they don't care because they want to kill everybody. That's not part of their inner circle anyway.
That's true.
That's where this is going, Doug. The Georgia Guidestones got blown up. What was that, 2 months ago?
Yeah, about a month ago. And why did everyone stop talking about that? I'm
curious. It's newsworthy, but it's not, once you've observed the blowing it up and the backhoes cleaning up the mess, what is there left to talk about other than speculation?
Well, who did it? I mean, they have video of the car.
There's still speculation about who paid for it to be built. I mean, You know, so we don't know who built these things. We don't know who blew them up. There was a video of a car leaving the premises, which may have been responsible and probably was. But so it's newsworthy up to a point, Doug, but only up to a point.
I get that. But you would think that, okay. You know what? I'm not going to add to that. You're right. I still have questions. I don't like having unanswered questions. I want to know.
That's your nature and my nature as professional investigators.
Yep.
You and I could not enjoy the success we've had unless we had that kind of tenacity. That's what it takes to be a successful investigator. Dead lead after dead lead after dead lead until you finally get, maybe after a year, you get the interview that breaks the whole case, which I've done. And I know you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tenacity is simply who we are, Doug. It requires no explanation. That's simply who we are. So that's both my brothers have got the clot shot. My sister-in-law, my daughter, both her twins that turned 16 this month, her husband, my 27-year-old grandson did not get the clot shot. I hope that my influence I was his surrogate father for 3 years between age 3 and 6, and he spent a lot of summertime with me after that. I hope that my influence maybe had some role in him not getting the clot shot. But I'm watching the health of the people I love the most. What's going to happen to them? They got clot shots and boosters. So far, they're all healthy. Knock on wood.
Why? Okay. And that's again.
Well, here's why. There's been evidence that different zip codes get different clot shots.
Okay.
That evidence, and I couldn't tell you. Out of 200, I don't have them cataloged and indexed. I certainly have that capability as an intelligence analyst to do that, but quite frankly, I'm not going to devote the time. So that has been documented that different zip codes did get different clot shots. And on top of that, as a follow-up, different zip codes are going to get different boosters. So knock on wood, the people I love the most and care about the most are still healthy. And I pray that continues. That's not the case, however, for many tens of millions of people worldwide. They're dying every day. What was it in the 1970s with the swine flu vaccine? Was it 6 or 7 people died from the vaccine? They shut the whole thing down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was an incredibly low number.
We're losing more than that every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day.
I should.
So that continues to be. Well, Doug, our listeners are I refer to our listeners, your listeners and my listeners, as the pure blood remnant. We're past the point. Every adult who wants the clot shot has got one, and maybe 2 or 3 boosters. There's a however coming. However, approval for 3-year-old and older has just been happening in the last few weeks. We can still save a lot of lives by encouraging parents and grandparents to not allow children to get the clot shot. That's where this is really so very important, Doug, that this broadcast we're doing here on Monday, May the 8th, excuse me, August 8th, lost a couple of months. Monday, August the 8th, this broadcast could save many lives. If it saves one life, I'm okay with that. One human life has a lot of value. So you parents and grandparents, if you have influence over a child getting or not getting a vaccine, please, I implore you, please do whatever you can to prevent that child from getting the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. You may very well save that child's life.
Okay, I have a question for you now. This is related to the injections, injecticide, the jab juice, okay? During our Patreon meeting last night, someone had said, and I have seen this personally, so I mean, I've witnessed this personally. Someone had said this, have you noticed that the people who have gotten these injections, their personalities have been adversely changed?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's that about?
I've observed it personally. And that is an observable fact, an observable matter that anybody can make that observation. And it's been observed by many tens of thousands of people all over the country that there is a personality change, not all the time, but much of the time, with people who got the clot shot. A gentleman I know, he's losing weight dramatically. He's a big guy, 6'4". His typical normal weight would be maybe 220 or so in a healthy state. I hesitate to ask him. His clothes are just hanging off of him. He may weigh 160, 155 pounds. That's what he looks like. Plus, there's a bonus. He can't control his facial expressions anymore. He has a kind of a convoluted smile, if I can kind of duplicate it, like this.
Okay. You're not talking Bell's palsy. You're talking about something different.
No, because Bell's palsy, I think, only affects one side of the face,
right,
doesn't it?
Right, yes.
Yeah, well, this is, the smile is distorted, uncontrollable smile is on both sides of the face. I don't want to go into any more detail because I want to preserve his anonymity. He's a dear friend and a great guy. And if I said much more, I would identify him. He's a local guy here. Yeah, his personality changes are observable. Now, I interview two doctors and a psychological professional. And I now have Sam Andrew's wife on every third Friday. And then Dr. Huff and Dr. Urokos are both chiropractic physicians. And we talk about this phenomenon every Friday, Doug, and it's kind of amazing that these changes, these basic persona changes, are taking place, and there's no legacy mass media attention whatsoever that I'm aware of. If you're aware of it, Doug, please let me know. And if there was, it would be on Fox, but I've not seen any on Fox and much at all. I think the most they'll do on Fox is question the veracity, the effectiveness of the clot shots, and make fun of Joe Biden, for example, having the clot shot and was it 3 or 4 boosters, still getting COVID positive on a regular basis.
Yeah, follow the money. Who supports? Who advertises on Fox? The big pharma, of course. You're not going to get crap on that,
exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
Yeah, but
no, you're not going to bite the hands that feed you. And of course, he's, you know, I regard Tucker Carlson as a great guy. But if he wants to maintain his position, he has to do what he's told to do. Otherwise, he'll be trying to get a YouTube channel. I don't know. you know, his comfortable lifestyle and income will be put at great risk from being fired by Fox. So, yeah, of course, they're going to do what they're told.
And isn't that the problem? People right now have you know what? I don't want to rock the boat. I mean, my retirement, you know, my banking, I got a good bank account. I got a good lifestyle. Well, none of this is going to matter because they're killing us all. Our children are more important than our current lifestyle.
This is not a new phenomenon, Doug.
Right. Right.
You know, I got back from Vietnam. My new assignment in the States was the 6th Special Forces Group at Fort Bragg. Changed my life. There was very few 21-year-olds in the 6th Special Forces Group. My commander, the group commander, I had a private meeting with him the day before I left the Army, and his initial observation was, Corporal Moore, you're the same age as my son. And the men I worked with typically were mid to late 30s and older. And I was speaking publicly about what I knew, since I spent most of my tour involved with classified documents involving the Vietnam War. I knew what was really going on, and I was speaking publicly about it. The men I worked with, these career Green Berets, they had families, they had mortgages, they had a pension to protect. They weren't about to kiss away a pension that they were going to get in 2 or 3 years to tell the truth about what they knew about Vietnam and put at risk their family's financial wherewithal. That was not going to happen. Plus, they knew it wouldn't change a damn thing, which it wouldn't. It would ruin their career and not change a damn thing. Well, I knew at that point there's no career for John Moore in the military. I knew that, even though I went back in nine years later in the Army Reserve. At the time, I knew I was not going to be a career man, so I had no pension to worry about. And I did speak publicly, but I found out then, and that's been half a century ago, more than half a century ago, Doug, that men will put their career and their pension ahead of doing the right thing. That's human behavior. Of course they will. That's expected. That's normal. I'm not saying it's right, but I am saying it's expected and it's normal, Doug.
Sads. Sads, isn't it? Sads. That's intentionally stated. Of course, sudden adult death.
Well, none of these men were trust fund kids.
Yeah, I know.
These Green Berets I worked with, they're working class men from working class families. They weren't trust fund kids that could put at risk their family's financial future of their wife and their children. They weren't going to do that, especially as I want to emphasize once again, you know, their knowledge of what was really going on in Vietnam, like mine, would not change anything. So what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Good point there. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, go to thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark his website because it changes frequently. And I've got to tell you, he's got a lot of great stuff. Great stuff, okay? I sound like the ShamWow guy now.
That's sorry. Okay, Doug. There's a lot of great stuff there. There is.
And, you know, I like being able to listen to your show live using the player on the front page as well as drill down to your archives. And you've got some pretty interesting things from your energy. By the way, folks, you know, there are ways you could take care of yourself beyond conventional methods. Of course, the energy cleaner is something that I believe in. Okay. I personally use this and I don't know. I can't explain it, but it's good. Okay. Scroll down, folks, all on this page, the news articles, some of the things you put up there, I use as a show prep. So, you know, I've got to tell you that I go to your page often, daily, and use things for show prep as well.
I appreciate it, Doug. There's only two things on my website that are exclusive content found nowhere else on the internet that I'm aware of. Well, a couple of interviews, obviously, my friend Command Sergeant Major Dan Page. But other than that, my friend Steve O'Neill, a nuclear scientist, he writes one or two articles a week. They're posted on the internet only at my website. Another friend of mine, a former counterintelligence agent, he posts what he calls the latest intelligence briefing once a week. Articles from all over the planet, every continent except the Antarctic, as far as I know, if you want to get current on what's going on in world affairs. And you're right. Energy Cleaner is a marvelous electronic healing device. I've been using it now for more than 20 years. You've been using it now, Doug, for, I think, 3 or 4 years, something
of
that nature.
Yeah, it's about two, actually, to be honest, about 2 years full
about
time.
About 2 years,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, time flies when you're having fun. But, and I do something your healthcare professional is highly unlikely to do, and they may get quite upset if you ask your healthcare professional for a money-back guarantee for anything that they do. That will not be taken kindly. You know, Mr. Surgeon, do you guarantee my back surgery will work?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Hagman, the door's over there. Thank you very much. Come back.
Oh,
you know. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee, and I ship between 500 and 600 a year. I get back about 4 a year return, about 1.25%. That's less than 1%, Doug.
That's amazing. The numbers are amazing. And I'm sure you've gotten some really good feedback because I've gotten, my feedback is positive. Again, I can't explain it. But I can tell you this, it works. So, you know, folks, you've got to take care of yourself. Go ahead.
Exactly. I don't want to dwell on that too much longer, but there's details and wonderful testimonials at thelibertyman.com. And I now offer something that I didn't previously offer about beginning 3 or 4 months ago, the micro plush throw. So now you can use that with your energy cleaner on your recliner and on your car seat.
Yeah, I saw that.
As well as on your bed. Yeah, it's real handy. It's cozy. It's comfortable. You know, they're beautiful. $75 cool. Shipping included. So I know when I'm on a road trip, anything more than 2 hours, I'll take the energy cleaner and have that signal on the car seat. It makes a 10-hour drive seem more like a 5 or 6 hour drive. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm going to be needing to do that here soon. More on that later, folks. But wow. Okay. So let me ask you this. I want to touch base with you on this. Have you heard about this? Let me see if I can pull this up on my show prep materials. Okay. America gives away crucial new technology to China. And what this is, back in 2015-ish, a guy in Washington State developed a battery about the size of a refrigerator. And this battery could power your house for something like 30 years. Okay. So think about that.
Without being recharged?
Yes.
Oh, seriously.
Oh, really? Yes. As a matter of fact, you want to take a couple minute video look at this?
Let's do that.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I want to get your thoughts on this. This story, there is more here than meets the eye. And I'm thinking Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, China, because what happened was, although we did this here in America, built this, constructed this, we gave it to China. And so we'll hit video number two just for a few minutes, sir. Here it is.
Point tonight. The only thing, literally the only thing worse than China stealing all of our technology is us giving it to them. And that is exactly what we are doing. It's stunning. In fact, we didn't believe it when we first read it. This isn't just any technology. It's breakthrough battery technology that can change the way the world deals with energy. Remember, green energy is everything these days. President Biden says it's the future. We're going to spend hundreds upon hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars of your money that we don't have in order to invest in green energy. So, giving the Chinese our best battery technology is akin to giving the Soviets our best microchip and computer technology back in the 1970s. Unthinkable, but here it is. A blockbuster NPR report shows America, under the Trump administration, giving China the best of the best American battery technology. The U.S. made a breakthrough battery discovery, then gave the technology to China. That's from NPR. The Biden administration now proposes, of course, spending hundreds of billions of dollars to subsidize buying, among other things, batteries from China. What are we talking about? This is a picture of the batteries from back in 2015. They've since gotten a lot smaller. They were made by an American company called Uni Energy. They were developed by American scientists with taxpayer money from Washington State. American through and through. And these batteries literally will change the world. Here's how NPR describes the situation. They were building a battery, a vanadium redox flow battery, based on a design created by 24 U.S. scientists at a government lab. The batteries were about the size of a refrigerator, held enough power and enough energy to power a house and could be used for decades. Again, this is huge. The engineers pictured people plunking them down next to their air conditioners, attaching them solar panels, and everybody living happily ever after off the grid. Okay, it sounds like science fiction. This was beyond promise, though, says Chris Howard, one of the engineers who worked there for a U.S. company called Uni Energy. We were seeing it function as designed, as expected. Again, think about this. A battery the size of a refrigerator, able to power a house that lasts 30 years. We did it. And the Department of Energy under President Trump leased the technology to China. And then the Department of Energy under President Biden transferred that technology to China fully. In 2017, Rick Perry ran DOE. He's the former Republican governor of Texas. 2021, Jennifer Granholm ran the DOE. She is the former governor of Michigan. Their combined incompetence, perhaps incompetence at best, means the game changer in clean energy isn't made in America, is no longer made by Americans. Specifically, they're not made in Washington State, where it was proposed, but rather in China, 5,200 miles away. Think about the battery. Size of a fridge can power a house used for decades, recharged with solar. Again, the Chinese didn't steal this technology. We willingly gave it to them. It is the same kind of technology that just might. Maybe this technology could be useful in a war. Troops fighting that war could use these batteries rather than needing resupply of diesel fuel for generators.
Folks, you can watch the whole clip, HagmanReport.com. Click on video two there. So what do you think of that? Have you heard about that?
Well, no, Doug, but I've worked with a battery manufacturer in, where are they? They're in South Dakota, I believe, for about 12 years. Those batteries are actually inferior to the original Edison battery, which is a nickel iron alkaline battery.
That's true.
They're inferior.
Yes.
They're inferior. A battery lasts 30 years. Well, that's great. How about a battery that never wears out?
And then that's the Edison battery you're talking about, because
the original, there's a company called Edison Iron, which does not make a genuine nickel iron alkaline battery. It's a knockoff. That will last about 10 years. That's why they only have a 10-year warranty on the Edison iron batteries, because it's not the real deal. The guys I work with, they bought remaining stocks of original Edison batteries, removed the nickel iron plates, and built new cases and sold these batteries nationwide. And I have several of myself. Now, Doug, to educate your audience.
Well, I'm glad I brought this up because you know about this.
Well, not far from you in New Jersey is the Edison Museum.
Yep.
And in the Edison Museum on the 8th day of August, 2022, are batteries manufactured more than a century ago, going through daily charge discharge cycles. Now, they've been doing that for more than a century. We don't know if or when these batteries will ever wear out. The plates that were removed from century-old batteries to build the new batteries by the guys I worked with at Zapworks, they were still in pristine condition, like they'd just been manufactured the day before, after being in daily use for decade on decade on decade. So I'm not all that concerned about this, that the technology's been around for more than a century. The company that was manufacturing them last, they discontinued manufacturing them in the 1970s. The guys I worked with interviewed the executives, and I asked them why. And it was a simple answer: no repeat business. Now, that's pretty lame excuse to me when you got a worldwide market to meet. No repeat business. That's a pretty lame excuse to me, but they stopped manufacturing. Now,
you got a point to that, though. There's a point to that. It would be like car tire manufacturers making a tire that never wears out. Okay. Where's the repeat
there's some things that don't, you know, the common vice on a workbench,
right?
Never wears out if it's not abused.
Right.
So there are tools and implements and things in daily use that quote unquote never wear out. A claw hammer, for example, when does it wear out? If you got a fiberglass handle on it and don't abuse it, your great grandchildren are going to be using that claw hammer.
And depends if Eric the Tech lets me use mine. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty lame. With a market the size of the United States alone, let alone a worldwide market for batteries that never wear. And that's, quite frankly, Doug, that's the weak link for all these alternative energy schemes with solar and wind, and where it's typically us the two. But the weak link is always the batteries. Now, if you're going to use lead acid batteries to meet the needs of a 3-bedroom, 2-bath American ranch style home, you're going to spend about $20,000, between $20,000 and $25,000.
All right.
10 years later, repeat. 10 years later, repeat. Families can't afford that, Doug. That's why people don't do it.
Right.
They can't afford these batteries. The same thing with these battery powered automobiles. The replacing those batteries is incredibly expensive. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Ford Motor Company and General Motors have both invested millions of dollars developing electric powered automobiles and trucks.
Right.
That have a very limited range, that are being bought by people who are already in states such as California and New York, already experiencing brownouts because of the overtaxed power grid. And you're going to add on top of that people charging up these massive heavy batteries in their cars and trucks, which is already being cut back, by the way. I believe it was, didn't the governor of Texas cut back on when you may or when you may not recharge the
seems
batteries?
To me, yeah, seems to me I heard
I think
that about
did
that.
Happen.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise. A pickup truck with a electric engine in it pulling a load may be reduced to 80-mile range. That's not acceptable. Plus, who's going to pay for the highways? The highways are paid for with gasoline and diesel tags. Who's going to pay that bill? With the, you know, and the people with electric cars and trucks aren't, you know, they're getting off scot-free, not paying the road tax for the roads that they use.
But everything you're talking about here, this is the crux of the control over. They're trying to exert the control over us. Okay, no gas vehicles, right? You can't really go anywhere. We you have to use our vehicles. We'll own the vehicles. We'll let you use them, so to speak. Down the road, that's kind of what they're going after. And so this is we're talking about the epicenter of control here, are we not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Controlling the use, the ownership and use of electric vehicles is far easier than gasoline, diesel-powered motor vehicles. Far easier. Of course it is. There may be a point in the future where the power grid is robust enough to handle it, that the cars and trucks have a range that makes sense, which they don't now. I can't. And the price of these things is off the charts crazy, Doug. $70,000-$80,000 for a vehicle that runs electricity. Not this cowboy.
Yeah, wait until your battery goes bad. You got to change the battery. It's $25,000-$26,000 for a battery. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, you're exactly right on this. By the way, that's why I like your. I'm looking for your. There it is, right there. On your TR6, you made some great progress. It's looking good. Folks, go to thelibertyman.com. You gotta check.
It's going to be even better. It's in a body shop right now. I hit a deer about 6 weeks ago. Mashed up the hood a little bit.
What did deer do to you? I mean, why'd you hit a deer?
It was high noon in the National Forest, and it jumped out so fast I didn't have time to do anything except smack it. It got up and ran away.
Well, but, that's good.
So I got full coverage insurance, and it's in the body shop as we speak. It'll be beautiful when I get it back in a week or two.
But see, in my view, okay, I'm glad I have a vehicle that doesn't have, my primary vehicle, which I'm not going to get into, doesn't have the bells, the whistles. You can't, it still has a cigarette lighter in there, an ashtray, to give you an idea of how old this is, right? So no one's going to be hacking my car to send me off a cliff somewhere, ostensibly, hopefully.
Hopefully. I know men who have had their cars tampered with because they got sideways with
federal
agencies.
But, I mean, why make it easy by buying a car that they can control remotely in 2025? You look a little sad. We're not going to let you. You look a little impaired. We're not going to let you drive, or whatever the case might be. you know, why make it easy on these morons to control you for convenience purposes? Hey, I can plug my phone in. It gives me a map. I can read my text or have my, you know what? Stop it. You know, go ahead.
Well, good luck trying to stop my 1969 Triumph TR6. It's not going to happen. Well, control. That's what the powers that be want. Klaus Schwab, was he the one that said, you'll own nothing and be happy? Of course, you'll be happy because you'll be all zipped up with psychotropic drugs in a water supply, which is already happening. Sodium fluoride is a psychotropic drug, in case you don't know.
What? Say that again? South Florida?
So sodium fluoride is a psychotropic drug.
Right. Okay. Yes, that's true.
It's in many major water supplies, major city water supplies.
Okay, sodium fluoride.
It's illegal in Europe, by the way.
Yeah. And, of course, it makes you docile. It did to the prisoner of war people.
Well, as many doctors and scientists and civilians know, there's a cumulative effect for many chemicals absorbed into the human body, and sodium fluoride is one of them. And it does make you docile, and that's why it was used in POW camps in World War II. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you know about this, okay? Folks, we care about you, and this might sound like a sales pitch. It's not, okay? When you look at the products on John Moore's website, when you look at the products on our website, whether it be the energy cleaner or whether it be a water filtration system, take out all the crud, the crap that's in the water. That's why John looks as good as he does at his age, advanced age, elderly man. I'm kidding. But you know what I mean. You got to take care of yourself.
That's a moving target. No.
Yeah. I mean, you got to take care of yourself. And that's what people need to do.
Doug. And, you know, I'll be 75 in a few weeks. And I look at my peers, the men and women that I went to high school with. We got together at a high school event, a small gathering, maybe 20 men and women a couple of weeks ago. And I look at these guys and gals, and majority of them, especially the men, really haven't taken care of themselves. And it's not that simple. It doesn't necessarily cost any money to eat properly, get a little exercise, have a good mental attitude. It's the cost of not doing it is far greater. It really is.
Yeah, I'll just share an anecdote here. What really woke me up was back, I think my daughter, my youngest daughter, who happens to be married to Eric the Tech, my wife and I took her to a play or something. It was an event. And what really woke me up, she was probably, 5, 6 years old. My wife, gorgeous as she is. We walked into the theater, and they went ahead of me for some reason. I can't remember what happened. But anyway, the usher knew that they were with me, looked at me and said, "Sir, your daughter and granddaughter are in the third row down there." Okay. And I'm thinking to myself, man, do I look that bad? Do I really look that bad? And that really woke me up to thinking, okay, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, no one else is going to do it for you. So you got to take care of yourself. Now, you know, no facelift, no Botox. And look at this. I'm just a picture of, I don't know what the hell I am, but anyway. All right. But no, it's all good, John. John, we got about 5 minutes left of the show. So, you know, wherever you want to take it, but because I see bad things happening. By the way, do you see, with China, Taiwan, Pelosi's visit, we haven't talked since then. What's your thought on that? Anything that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I haven't verified it, but apparently the aircraft that she flew can't fly that far without stopping for refueling, which allegedly it didn't do, which that's kind of a rabbit trail that may be worth looking into.
Interesting. So
Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House 25 years ago when he went there.
Yeah.
It was no big deal. The disparity between the White House and a speaker in public made us look like fools worldwide. It really did. There's, you know, that kind of discourse should be taking place privately without the public's knowledge if there is some kind of dispute between the executive branch and the Speaker of the House. Not, that should not be dirty laundry to be out in public. It should not have been. It makes us look like fools. So China is, well, the military exercises were supposed to end yesterday, Sunday.
Yeah, the live fire exercises, my goodness.
Yes, sir. They continue today with no announced end in sight. So we don't know. If this continues the rest of this week, the make-believe blockade could become an actual blockade. That would be a game changer if it happens. China and you, I'm sure you've interviewed Jeff Nyquist, haven't you, Doug?
You know what? I haven't. I was going to ask you one day when you have a chance to bring him on.
I can get you his contact information. But Jeff's authored 6 books on the communist threat. Yep. He's sat across the interview table from a number of high-level KGB defectors. He has excellent sources in both communist China and Russia. His private sources are telling him that China plans on a war with somebody. We're not sure who, either Taiwan or us or both of us, on or before the 1st of November. And that's a pretty big deal. It's right behind the COVID clutch chat killing all these people. So we're watching that carefully. I get updates from Jeff every week. It's not always an update, but just about every week we get an update on what the communist Chinese are up to and their plans, their timeline, and so forth. The 1st of November will be here in less than 3 months.
Oh,
so
be still my heart. I mean, my goodness, I'm still looking for spring, but okay. All right.
Right.
But
right. Well, we got 3 weeks of August and
so what do you think?
We got September, October.
The midterms. Do you see anything? I'm looking at the midterms. I'm thinking, you know what? More of the same. That's kind of my thought. More of the same.
Well, there's going to be mass turnout of conservatives. Mike Lindell announced recently that Utah is going to have almost all mail-in ballots. I verified that 90% of the ballots in Utah will be mailed in. That's one of the key things for vote fraud is mail-in ballots,
yep,
along with the Dominion voting machines. Many states have taken steps to stop that. Others did not. So I hope, I pray that there will be a genuine Republican conservative turnover in Congress, not rhinos, but real conservative Christian Republicans in both the Senate as well as the House, creating a veto-proof majority in both. That needs to happen, Doug. It needs to happen in just a few weeks,
which
will be the first Tuesday in November.
And if it doesn't, is our goose cooked? Pretty much.
I'm not one to give up, but it would make things more difficult. We still, for all you folks out there, there's 3,300 plus counties in the United States. It's absolutely essential that your sheriff in your county, if he's elected as opposed to appointed, that the sheriff be a Constitution-supporting sheriff, the entire Constitution, including the Second Amendment, of course. It's not optional.
There are 7,000, roughly, give or take, 7,000 elected positions all across the country. And that's from Dog Catcher to the White House. Okay, so there's more of us than there are of them. They should be scared to death of us. And that's all I'm going to say about that. John Moore, the libertyman.com, the Ricardo Montalban of Mondays. That's the web presence for John Moore right there, as you can see that. TheLibertyMan.com. John, I want to thank you so much for being part of the
show. Thank you, Doug. It's always good. Yeah. Look forward to doing it next Monday, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Lord willing, things don't happen, but they come down with a coup or whatever. But, okay. Appreciate you, brother. All right, folks. That'll do it pretty much almost, sort of, kind of. I just want to close out by this. About that battery situation, I agree with John. The Edison battery, and what a rich history that has. However, I'm going to toss this name out to you, okay? This, because I know this, Conservative Treehouse had cited him as well. This name, and I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, wait a second, I've heard this name before, Gary Yang. Okay, Gary Yang was heavily involved in this whole battery thing. The transfer of technology to China He was responsible for that. And the reason I mention that is because we have a lot of stuff going out, nothing coming in except what we pay for, and we need to change that. Folks, thank you so very much. May God bless you. Thank you so much for taking part of our fundraiser. You can still register, and you can still download the documents and the interviews. HagemanReport.com. Good night.